The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs gold winner. Well, welcome, radio listeners. Yes, it is actually March. We're not back in January with the weather. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday has been cooler than we've been used to. You hit 70?
No!
And they hit you with a gut punch. You've tuned into the Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, where I have an exciting conversation and a cold energy drink every Saturday morning. If you're listening by podcast, don't worry, you didn't have to get up early. I'm in the studios right in the Pikes Peak region, 8th Street, Colorado Springs. And today, in record time, I'm going to introduce the show, which is Rent Control to Affordable Housing. It's all a smokescreen. So I'm going to talk about some of the legislation that's coming through the Colorado Congress. Similar, there's seven other states that have rent control. I went through that last week. I'll summarize that. But now I'm moving on. My very good friend and partner, Bill McAfee, brought this to my attention as we have more than a half a dozen pieces of legislation that are going to come through Congress in Colorado dealing with rent control, affordable housing, and such. But without further ado, I want to tell you I am Jay. I'm your friend. You can get a hold of me at 719-330-1457. This is not a non-profit radio show. I would encourage you. I would implore you. I would like to earn your business on your next purchase or refinance transaction. I am a licensed loan originator with Churchill Mortgage, Garvin's Group of Churchill Mortgage, located right here in the Pikes Peak region and within Colorado and 15 other states. But in the conversation with rent control, which was last week, to affordable housing, I've got Bill McAfee with me, the president of Empire Title. Bill, appreciate you coming in.
Well, Jay, I appreciate you having me in. I've never seen an energy drink that said Coors on it.
I know.
think I'll have some of that.
Yeah, some of that as well. So you forwarded this to me, my friend, and this... Now, the first piece of legislation that we had talked about offline, and I talked online in the radio show titled last week, Rent Control, California, Here We Come. There's seven other states that already have this legislation, plus the District of Columbia, California, Oregon, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Minnesota, Maine. The bottom line is in that last week's show, there's 15 to 20 negatives that trying to control the cost of rent just eliminates people who are producing the rent and increases the bureaucratic red tape and overcost and ends up hurting cities. There wasn't one example on the entire internet of a successful municipal, county, or state trying to control rent and having it move to anything other than a gray market where families are trading rental units. Let's do this. If you've ever watched the comic series Friends, you'll know that Phoebe and the rest of her gang, and I'm going to get this so wrong because they lived in flats in New York, and the reason that they had a flat is they just took it over from their grandmother, if you know the story, both Rachel and Monica. So the biggest proliferation in last week's and the information I found is you start to create a gray or a black market for public housing and who has the best trades, and everybody else gets left out. And now today, due to my friendship with Bill and his endless research, affordable housing is coming onto the picture with legislation in Colorado. At least this one has not passed the House. The rent control has actually passed the House, and we're praying, and it's destined for failure in the Senate. Our governor is in trouble because his party is so progressive to the left of him, he's even casting serious documented doubts to the press on the actual pieces of legislation that his party is moving through, because it will absolutely be one of multiple daggers in the economy and the affordable living of Colorado. So, Bill, you found this one, and let's just read it directly. This is directly from.
Yeah.
Well, you have my copy.
Yeah, the Colorado General Assembly. You said it there.
Yeah. Bill, ownership is 9/10 of the law, man. I'm not bringing my wife into the studio. You and Ronnie will take her home. Anyways, you've got the legislation. Well, read it verbatim for the radio listeners.
Well, and you know, the little story behind this one, too. When they took this up, and I want to give a shout out to Daniel Muldoon. He's the one that had talked to me some about this. Yeah, and so then I started researching, and that's when I went and pulled this thing up. The amazing thing is they had this in committee up there. They had 40 people speak against, 3 people spoke for it, and it passed the committee like 9-4. So it just goes to show you how political everything has just absolutely become. But anyway, this is actually a proposal. So I want the listeners to pay attention here. It creates a right of first refusal of a local government to match any acceptable offer for the sale of residential or mixed-use multifamily property. The right to the purchase of the property by the local government is subject to the local government's commitment by using the property as long-term affordable housing. The local government may assign its right of first refusal to the state, to any political subdivision, to any other housing authority in the state, to the limitation that the assignee make the same commitment. So not only is it just going to be the government that they can do, but they can go into other organizations, which is kind of, to me, even a little bit more scary.
Oh, absolutely.
Who knows where they could run with this?
Oh, absolutely. Even California, one of the most draconian states as far as legislation and choking out prosperity in the economy, has similar legislation, but it's first right of refusal for an existing tenant who's residing there or a nonprofit, something like Habitat for Humanity.
Right.
At least those are private run.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, look at what the government.
Absolutely.
I was in the military for 15 years, if anybody, and we're speaking to the choir because 85% of you are homeowners. We're primarily a conservative radio. This is all economy. We're not talking politics. This is economics. And you know I don't talk politics other than the fact that this passed committee, Bill, because there's a super majority.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it passed 41-24, and there's only 19 Republicans in the entire Congress. Out of 65 members. It's the most aggressive. It's even a higher supermajority than California in Colorado right now. And congratulations, because some of you listening voted for the progressives, and now your decisions are coming home to roost, and we're a more conservative state.
Well,
Bill, but Jay, let's say this is not in Congress yet.
No,
this is just in
just
committee.
The more interesting one of this, Jay, that just really caught me, was you have to notify them, basically, of the sale, and then if you add all the time frames that they have.
Yes, 220.
That property's tied up for 224 days for them to make their decision.
Yeah, and what's going to happen in the economy, and then if you shift to the negative, the state's going to take $40,000 out of your pocket. We've lost $40,000 in typical values just in the last 6 months. And you know, if prices go up, the state isn't going to say, let's throw you another $40,000.
And can you imagine putting your house on the market and having it sit there for 224 days? And now, if they say no, then you can go out and sell your home? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, this is like eminent domain in freeway access for homes and home ownership.
Yeah, no, it's just wild. I didn't believe it when I first, that's when I sent it to you. I said, you got to look at this because I honestly didn't believe that was the plan, but that is the plan. And they say it's committed in preserving and converting the property to long-term affordable housing. Again, these plans rarely ever work, especially when they're ran inside the government.
Yeah. And let me tell you in 30 seconds here, Bill, he's going to hold over the segment. We're going to do economic update. But the bottom line up front is that if either of these laws pass within 18 months, my wife and I will sell all 5 of our investment properties in the state, which will all go to owner-occupied people.
Right.
My houses are all in the Broadmoor, in Pleasant Valley, in Divine Redeemer, and they're in really nice areas that couples would love them. And now, right now, I've got retired people, single working professional parents there below market value for rent, because that's our heart. The governor knows this, and it would be lost. So don't go anywhere. We're going to really pick this entire conversation apart piece by piece, and then we're going to be back with a full segment of Economic Update with Bill McAfee, where we have first-time news ever since we've launched this show. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Call me at 719-330-1457. Back after these messages. Escape.
die alone. I don't want to live forsaken. I refuse to let this go, because my soul is breaking.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment brought to you by locally owned Rocky Mountain Climate, a family-owned business. Back at the Jay Garvin Show here, your host, Jay Garvin's. Call me at 719-330-1457 for any real estate question. Now is the time to buy, purchase a home. Best prices in the last 5 years since 2018. If you have any questions at all about financing, purchase, bank depository concerns, anything, just give me a call, 719-330-1457. I would love to help you with your next purchase or refinance transaction. And today, I'm having a conversation about rent control to affordable housing. It's all smoke and mirrors, but right now, I have Bill McAfee in the studio, and we're talking about the Pikes Peak economic update. And these numbers don't lie. They're trying, meaning the legislators, to fix rent. They're trying to fix affordable housing. And we're telling you right now, without any intervention at all, housing is getting more affordable.
Absolutely.
Rent is becoming more available just by the economy itself. And Bill, let's dive into the numbers and kind of get the details and the proof that economy is balancing itself out. You said
we're racing back to normal. That's what we're doing. People are telling me in crash that I'm telling everyone out there, it is still a seller's market. We still do not have enough listings to cover the demand that's there. The voracious demand that we had, and I've teased about this before, Jay, we were drug addicts and alcoholics for several years there. That market was unreal. It was unsustainable. And so what we're seeing right now, just to bring it right to the consumer out there, finally, listings are growing. If you look on a long-term running average, we now have about 8 straight months. And a running average means every month I average it over the last 12 months. So we now have 9 straight months of increasing number. In other words, homes that are available for sale has gone up.
Yes, and the last time we were with any increase of inventory at all was a 6-month streak in 2018.
Yep. And then another thing, if you look at the number of sales, again, on a running average, has done the exact opposite over this last 9 months. So what's available for sale has been going up, and what's been sold is going down. We all know what hit. It was when those interest rates jumped. That put the brakes on the market. Now you got the bank failure, stuff like that, are just putting some scare out there. But we will see a little bit of decrease in interest rates based on the 10-year. So I'm looking for rates to roll down a little bit.
Yes, and you do have a separation, and I'm going to talk about that more. I'm going to talk about banking next week, so you're going to want to tune in. This is a very informative series. But Bill, what's you know and I know, but the consumer doesn't know, because I've said there's a cycle in buying in every community every year.
Wow.
You don't buy in July, you buy in January. But if you look, it's a bell curve every single year, every single year.
Yep.
And look at March is a tick up in sales from February.
And typically our big months in our market always are starting in March, April, May, June, July. Those are the big sale months.
For the last 5 years. Before, I used to buy houses in March and April when it was a sleepy market, and it used to be May, June, July, August for the military.
Well,
now it's for the millennials getting into the market early because they're seeing the trends of where the prices go in the summer.
Another thing that's very unusual that we didn't have over the last 4 or 5 years was the market didn't dip much in February, January. We didn't have that normal big drop.
So Not the big drop. But there was still a drop.
Yeah, and we are going back to what, again, racing back to that normal.
Yep.
Jay, the other thing, too, why I'm telling you it's a seller's market, we still only have 0.93 months of inventory. And just for people out there, this is my Bible when it comes to investing. And the reason it is because I take how many listings are standing right now. I go over the last 12 months and average the monthly. So how how many homes are we selling a month? I simply take what's standing right now, divide it by the monthly average, and that gives me how much inventory we have. Normal should be about 4 to 5 months. We don't even have a month. So I am telling you, we still don't have the homes to cover the demand that we have. What's put the brakes on is the interest rate increase. And Jay, we were in interest rates that weren't real. 2.1, if you follow the rates clear back into the 70s, is not real. So we enjoyed something that was brought on by our own government when they bought the mortgage-backed securities. We've held interest rates down, and now we're paying the piper. And so you will see homes, and they are coming down. They are going to continue to come down here for a bit because as rates hold, I would like to see them stable. I don't care if it's 6.5, 5.5, wherever it's at. I would like to see them stable 4 or 5 months because I think once people think that we're on back on track, I think they are going to come back in. This roller coaster that we're on right now, people are afraid.
They are afraid. Yep. And let me tell you, I just read an article this morning from the Wall Street Journal that says what's happening in the market right now is undeniable truth. That quantitative easing, the printing of money, went on too long because it went on for all of 20, all of 21, all of 22, and they got that last
bill, the last bill, which
is the Inflation Reduction Act, which was exact opposite. And we printed 4 times the money than the Great Recession,
right?
More than all of World War II during a pandemic, and now we're paying the piper.
And now you have another thing going on. Like obviously, the feds are trying to curb inflation, so they're punching up the short-term rates, which is more expensive. Expensive for businesses to borrow, you know, home equity lines are more expensive.
Cars, more credit cards.
Absolutely. All consumer stuff. But then the other thing now that they've done, there was a lot of cash flush, even in individuals.
And there still is.
The interesting thing that they're doing right now is they're pushing the rates on the 2-year, on the 5-year, and that's because they're trying to pull money out of the banks, out of circulation.
Yes.
Because if they can pull that money out for 6 months or 2 years, you can get 5% in a 2-year treasury right now.
Yes.
And so what's happening is they're also in addition to inflation, gas going up, food going up, housing going up, that's all going up. And now money's kind of leaving the banks because people are tying that up. When you make 2% in the bank or 5%, you can make 4% on a 6-month treasury. So what they're doing is that money's sucking out to where people don't have that disposable income. And again, that's going to affect the market.
Yes.
So you are going to see that go. Rates, they were 6.65.
Yeah, but let's talk about some positives. The positives are that houses, for the first time since 2012, are more affordable this year in January's numbers and February's numbers than they were last year. It's down 5% on a median, and the average is...
Average and median both, if you look at those things, we are down now to where we were in 20 and 21.
Yep.
I mean, where those prices are at.
Where we're down 1% and 2% respectively.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at in summary, so when you look at median and average sales prices, they have, again, if you look on a monthly, median, with the exception of 1 month, has dropped for the last 9 months. With exception of 1 month, it went up and then it's been down the last 9. That's median price.
So that's very, very good. If you're a buyer.
Absolutely.
Marry your home, date your rate. All of the big financially focused radio personalities will say the same thing. Warren Buffett says, buy low, sell high. Faith supersedes fear. And statistics show that real estate will go up. So this is a tremendous opportunity for you to purchase. Absolutely.
Well, and you know what, Jay, in looking at the buyers, when I compare, I don't like doing this, but I said this a couple shows ago. When I compare like January of this year to January of last year, I don't like comparing 1 month to 1 month, but for years it had gone up. For years it had gone up. If you look at the median price, compare February of 22 to February of 23, it's down 5.38%.
I know.
And average is down 2.74. So we haven't seen this in year.
Yeah, since 2012, 10 years.
Yeah. So what you're seeing is a market that's, and you know what, Jay, it's going to be nice for them to be able to go look at a house and not have to write the contract right there.
And to get some proceeds from the seller.
Absolutely.
And to get time to do an inspection.
And you can ask for seller concessions right now, which that wasn't happening.
Yeah, why. Just call me at 719-330-1457. You can start talking now, possibly purchase in the summer to the fall. It's a great opportunity, and this is a window that's only going to be open for 12 to 18 months.
Another thing that we're looking at that I think it's going to be huge for buyers. Again, we have the listings are coming up, but I think you are going to see interest rates. You never know exactly what they're going to do. They are going to stabilize. I truly believe they'll stabilize. You're going to see that. The residential units sold has gone down almost 27% when I compare January and February of this year to January and February of last year. Inventory levels are up 269%.
That's great news for buyers.
And number of listings is up 160%. 68. So yes, absolutely for buyers in this market, there's going to be opportunities we haven't seen in years. You know, and the buyers, they need to find a great lender, Jay. They need to come in and talk to you. They need to be ready to buy those homes. But now they can take a little bit of breath. They can look at several homes. It's not like that one you walk into. If you don't buy it, then you're going to lose it, or you're going to pay $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 over list price. They're not going to have to do that. And so for buyers, 23 will be the year for buyers for opportunity that we haven't seen in the last really 12 is when this thing started.
Yeah,
where prices have really just pretty much gone up since 2012.
Yep, and since January 28th of 2012, I've been at this microphone talking to you. I implored you to buy in 2012. I asked all of you to start to taper off and take a step back in 20 and 21. I honestly didn't see this much inflation hitting, and I'm excited to see that we have a buyer's market that is, what you said, a race back to
normal. Yep.
So everybody can get an even fair deal. And Bill, we said we might see prices flat this year.
I think we've already projected that we'll be flat to down. And that's amazing. When you go back 2 years, it was 18.6%.
Up.
Last year, it was 8.5.
Yeah.
And just think now that we're going to be flat to down. Jay, it had to happen. We were in a market that was unsustainable, period. Average days on market went to 54 days. And I'm hearing people out there go, oh my gosh. February of 2015, 110 days on market. In our market, normally it's 60 to 80. So sellers out there, if it takes your realtor 50 days, it's okay. Don't you freak out.
Give me a call at 719-330-1457. I can give you all of the details and even a copy of Bill McAfee's economic update. You can also watch his YouTube videos. Call me, 719-330-1457, to get in my limited investment property class happening on the 28th, Tuesday, the 28th of March. Free, 719-330-1457. Back after these messages.
Wake me up when this is over. I'm tired of living life like it's a dream.
Day after day, I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m. and 92.5 FM. We're back now. Here's Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Aero Moving and Storage.
I'm counting on you to carry me through. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I'm gonna get lost in your rock and roll.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Great segment, the monthly economic update with Bill McAfee. If you want to get a hold of that, just call me at 719-330-1457. I am continuing the conversation on rent control to affordable housing. And affordable housing here, talking about actual documents running through the Colorado General Assembly right now in committee, where it passed committee by a super majority, because that's what we have in Congress in Denver, a super majority of Democrats. I don't know the exact numbers, but I believe it's something like 46 Democratic representatives to 19 Republicans. We are now paying the piper for allowing people to come in that are not only of different parties, but now we have a super majority of a progressive part of the Democratic Party, one that even our governor in statements is separating himself from the legislation. But let's look at affordable housing. And affordable housing, very generic, straightforward definition, that housing that is affordable. And there's definitions being at 80% of the median income drawn out to the average rent. But having affordable housing, which is a great term to discuss, as opposed to having a legal term of first right of refusal, is two separate things. And I review this Colorado Assembly affordable housing right of refusal proposed bill that says the bill creates the right of first refusal of local government to match an affordable offer for sale of a residential, that's your single family home, or mixed use multifamily property. That is exactly the first sentence in the House bill moving through committee right now. Now, unlike rent control that I discussed last week that is actually in and through and approved by 41 to 25 in Congress, all of the Republicans voted against it and five Democrats came across the aisle. Bipartisanship against it is now sitting in the Senate, where this affordable housing right of refusal is sitting in committee, where more than 20 individual testimonies on Congress, on the Hill, Congressional Hill of Denver, in the permanent record were against it. Four individuals testified for it, and it's still passed by a vast majority out of committee on partisanship lines. Let's define by Webster first right of refusal. It gives prioritized interested party, which in this case is the state of Colorado, the right to make a first offer before an owner can negotiate with other prospective buyers. It basically is eminent domain for housing in the gist of affordability. Now, I'm talking economic terms only. It's amazing when you make a horrific mistake and then proceed as an individual, as a family, as a community, in this case, as a political party, make a tremendous mistake and then fix that mistake with another mistake. None of this passes the common sense test. So our affordable housing problem, which is real in Colorado, without any doubt at all, was supercharged with nitrous oxide when the progressive Denver-based liberals created a draconian environment during an exaggerated pandemic. That's actually proven. It's proven that numbers and the scare was overstated for control, and now they want to fix that mistake of buildings shutting down, commerce shutting down, creation of additional housing shutting down during the pandemic that has proven to be exaggerated and dramatically overstated. You do not have these troubles in Tennessee. You do not have these problems in Florida. You do not have these problems in Texas. You only have them in 6 to 11 states in some degree that are vastly progressive and anti-business and pro-social justice, that now the same individuals, the exact same individuals that voted for these drastic measures and supported these drastic measures are now trying for government to fix them by bureaucracy controlling a sector. See, we just spent an entire segment talking about how housing through a supply and demand capitalistic cycle is coming to be more affordable. This is also happening in rent. Rent is becoming more affordable and flattening in Colorado Springs and El Paso County in the Pikes Peak region as we speak. But Colorado is now leading the charge, wanting to make the same mistakes of the West Coast states, Washington, Oregon, California. Here we come. I predicted in 2020, after the defeat of Senator Cory Gardner, to where we went to 100% of one party at the entire state level and two out of two senatorial seats, and I don't know it exactly, I think it is 5 out of 9 congressional seats, that we would start to see the demise and the slowing of commerce in Colorado. It's already true. You can look on the books yourself. For the first time in more than a decade, Denver physically didn't grow slower last year. There's physically less human beings in Denver this year than last year. That's how attractive Denver is. The go-to state during the Hickenlooper days, during the Owen days from 1999 to 2015, it was the city within the state to go to. And I'm telling you now from a commerce sense that if you don't wake up and I don't wake up in economic terms to get involved in the mayoral race, to stay awake during the county commissioner elections, to get involved and to have more influence in the state elections, that Colorado isn't even in the top 5 most desirable states to live anymore in trending, that we won't even be in the top 15 states in 10 years beyond 2032 if we don't change some things. And it's okay. We can plan accordingly. I've already done what are called 1031 exchanges. If you have property in Colorado, let's say you have 5 or more properties in Colorado like me, and you want to balance and diversify your portfolio, I've already moved 2 of my real estate assets out of Colorado, not because I don't love it, My wife's a native. My children are born and raised here as natives, and I'm transplanted from the Cheesehead State of Wisconsin. But I've transferred two of my income-generating properties from Colorado to Tennessee, one in the greater Nashville area in Franklin and one in the Knoxville area in the Smoky Mountains. Call me Nostradamus. I can bend light and see around corners with economic decisions. It's not difficult. I make it very simple. But if you're an individual out there with three or more properties in Colorado and you just want to diversify to where your family is in Missouri, or Iowa, or Arkansas, or Florida, or Texas. I'm in 15 different states plus Arizona, Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana, Utah, Idaho, all of the red states that are prospering. Tennessee just had a multi-billion dollar surplus because it's not going through the struggles of Colorado. It's not going through the struggles of Michigan, California, New York, Illinois. There's a balance between love and a retirement and growing assets for your family. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. Now, as of this show, I did research in other states that actually have legislation that's as draconian as affordable housing, the first right of refusal for government entities like the state, a county, a city, municipal, or any political entity they choose to assign it to. I found zero. I found California, of course, the big brother, the state that Governor Paulus would love to be like, would love to have you on the show to talk economics. Your family has run business, so is mine. Would invite anybody to talk on business terms about this. Even California, which is passing and discussing, not into law yet, the COPA or the TOPA, which is a Tenant and or Community Opportunity to Purchase Act, California isn't going even as draconian as the suggestions of Colorado and the state legislator and the super majority led by progressive Democrats. California's just saying, hey, let's give the tenant an opportunity to have first right of refusal. Or a nonprofit like Habitat for Humanity. None of their legislation proposals at all talk about state entities. I want to know where the governor or the legislative body is going to get this money. Tax the pot laws different? By the way, those are great pieces. I'm sarcastic. Those are horrific pieces of legislation for the working class to just continually further legalize drugs that just doesn't pass the common sense test. I mean, Denver even tried to get the medical mushrooms. How is that good for commerce and family? But on top of that, now with illegalized gambling, what are you going to use that money? You're going to tax me? Use my taxpayer money in order to buy my house from me as a state entity? None of it passes the common sense test. Now, they talk about new pro-tenant bills to limit fees, rent, create affordable housing, rent limitations, stuff like this. But I'm going to tell you right after the break how none of these studies, I cannot find one study of either rent control or first right of refusal that has happened or worked at all. But I haven't seen one example of defunding the police that has worked either. It's just this affects my economy, my life, my world. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Call me during the break, 719-330-1457. Would love to answer your questions. Or you can get signed up for my next class, Tuesday the 28th of March, absolutely free, complimentary, Investment Property 101. Now is the time to learn, a $95 value for free for you. Call during the break. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
Thanks for the joy that you've given me. I want you to know I believe in your song. Rhythm and rhyme and harmony. You've helped me along, making me strong. Oh.
Don't you feel it growing day by day? Deeper, getting ready for the moon. Some are happy, some are sad. Oh, we gotta let the music play.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk. Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin's.
We want to pump you up.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. The final segment today on the Jay Garvin Show as I talk about first right of refusal. Call me at 719-330-1457. This show, of course, is talking about the first right of refusal on real estate, residential and mixed, which is called multifamily, up to 4 units. This is a piece of legislation that is in committee in the General Assembly of Colorado, affordable housing right of first refusal, which the bill creates the right of first refusal of a local government to match acceptable offer for the sale of your residential property. Also mixed use. So this means if you sell your house, if this law passes, there's not even a bill number attached to it like there is in the previous show that I did about rent control, which is House Bill 1115. Passed the House, struggling in the Senate. And even our Democratic governor has come out publicly in criticism of this. But this affordable housing, first one, which I talked to you about is rent control. There's models in pathetic states. I would argue, I would debate economically with anybody that Washington, D.C. economically is not on the right path. The entire state of California is not on the right path. Oregon is not on the right path. New York is not on the right path. People are leaving these states in droves because of their economic legislation chokehold on the public. New Jersey, Maryland, Minnesota, Maine. That's exactly who our state legislator economically want to be like in Denver. Now, in front of me with the affordable housing first right of refusal legislation that's in committee right now in Congress, where there's 65 members of Colorado Congress and over 46 of them are Democratic. That's a supermajority with a very progressive arm of that majority, wants to pass legislation where a local government can go to a seller and residents of a property and upon receiving notice can just tell the seller that, hey, we have the intent to buy your property. We're immediately going to get 14 days to preserve the right of any refusal, locks you up for 2 weeks. Then we are demanding this legislation word for word is going to give the state or the government entity 90 days to make an offer. Just 90 days to think about it. Another 3 months that your family's in a chokehold on your single family home and must agree to close the property within 6 months. So 180 plus 90, that's 210, plus another 2 weeks. Tie your property up for 3/4 of a year at 224 days and not pass it to a tenant, not pass it to a nonprofit like California's proposing. No, we're going to give it to the state, just like the Gestapo and Russia. And then the legislation states that, don't worry, we're going to have that as affordable housing for 50 years. So then we're going to lock it in for 2 generations. You can't make this stuff up. This is Orwellian, like 1984. This is Colorado, that less than 20 years ago, in the brink of our millennial, we were a ranching, conservative, cowboy hat-wearing state. And now we're California. So I'm telling you straightforward, if you own 3 or more properties in Colorado, nothing more than a conversation. You're just flat out naive if you don't call me. I'm not negative at all. I love this state. I just put hundreds of thousands of dollars into our primary residence in the Broadmoor. I'm not going anywhere, but I certainly am revisiting where my real estate assets are. Call me at 719-330-1457. I'll give you 30 minutes to 60 minutes of my time complimentary. I charge $250 an hour, billable in 15-minute increments. I will waive that for you. I've helped more than $50 million worth of real estate assets relocate around in different counties within the state and different states within the union. And I will do the same for you because there's virtually no law that I can find of affordable housing right of refusal legislation. California's playing around with it in committee. Colorado wants to be first to the punch on this. But when I did the show last week on rent control, I looked at more than 15 studies, 15 of them, 15, from bookings.com, manhattaninstitute.com, econlib.com. That one blew me away. National Multifamily Housing Council, and the list goes on. There was not one example of where rent control and chokeholding real estate in the name of affordable housing that worked. It reduces new construction. Profits are limited, so construction goes elsewhere. If we're so naive that we think individuals that are developing property here won't just close up shop and literally go across the Kansas or the Nebraska Alaska or the Arkansas border. They're certainly not going to go down to New Mexico, but they definitely, just like our businesses have went up to Wyoming and South Dakota and Montana, these builders and developers just pack up their truck and say, we're going to build elsewhere. Because if you decrease, which has happened in Colorado in large part because of the popularity, but also because of the draconian pandemic of shutting down, literally, I think you all are intelligent enough to know that more than 5,000 skilled tradesmen, when Denver and Colorado dripping into El Paso County and other rural counties literally shut down at a draconian level, over 5,000 talented tradesmen left Colorado and never came back. Prices aren't outrageous for labor in Tennessee or Missouri or Carolina or Arkansas, because that's where all of the individuals went to. So the good news with all of this is none of the laws have passed. I'm being very proactive. You can call me at 719-330-1457. I will give you the information of the House bills and your congressmen from an economic standpoint to say, hey, I'm concerned that you might want to buy my house as a government entity, and I don't want that restriction. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about the bonehead banking that's been going on. But please call me, especially if you own three or more properties. I implore you to call me at 719-330-1457 just to talk about the future plans that you have for those properties. And as I state at the end of every show, go grow and prosper. Tell someone close to you that you love them, because that's all that matters in the end. Not the legislation, not the housing, just your loved ones and your memories. And keep listening to The Jay Garvin Show, where we strive, I personally prepare, to keep you informed at all times. 719-330-1457. Only 4 seats left on my Introduction to Investment Property class, Tuesday the 28th of March. Call me today. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything